This show is brought to you by Carbonite Backup and Go-To Assist Express. It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 368. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions or suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. You can find links to all of my past shows, and that's at mtswiki.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And you can send me a friend request on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And that's important to learn when I am posting up fresh content, when I'm going live. You can learn. And next week, I will be tweeting and also posting on Facebook when the next show will be, which as of right now, it is going to be Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It'll be August 12th instead of August 11th. And that's at 9 o'clock at night. It's going to be a lot easier for me because I'll be coming back from vacation and it gives me a few hours to unwind and get ready, do the show. So we'll have a good time next week. No live show on Thursday night. And for those following Tech Vets, I will have a show posted on Monday night, but it's not going to be live. That show is some lost episode that never made it online that I'm editing and posting up that Carrie and I recorded a while ago. A couple reminders. Get in your questions that are tech-related legal questions. Maybe they're around starting a business and you would like some advice. This is a great opportunity to get your questions in. I'm going to have a business attorney on the Mike Tech Show on a special Saturday edition at the end of the month. His name's Josh, and he will be here live in my studio where he's going to answer all of the tech questions. Now, we may have to modify them a little bit for public consumption and distribution. Get your questions in. I'll forward them to Josh ahead of time so he can prepare answers. Looking forward to that. We've gotten a couple, but please keep them coming and send them in. A couple upcoming appearances that I want to mention. I am going to be speaking at the Princeton User Group meeting on August 23rd. So that's this month. And then also I will be speaking the afternoon of September 6th at the Ewing Computer Learning Center. I will have links to both of these locations. And please, if you are anywhere in the area and you're able to make these events, I would love to meet you and come on by. We'll have a great time as I present to these organizations. So before we get started, Carbonite Online Backup protects your pictures and your other computer files by automatically backing them up whenever you are online. You know I talk about backups all the time, but to really protect your system from any disaster, you got to get your files. They got to get off-site. They got to get into the cloud. And that's what Carbonite does best. You can buy Carbonite and you can buy it and get 2 free months by using the code TPN. But more important, you can get a 15-day trial by going to carbonite.com. You don't need a credit card, and you can begin backing up your files and seeing that they are accessible online, and then test it out. Go online and download one of those files and see that you can open it up. It's the only way to protect yourself. Backups locally, that's great. But if some impending disaster happens, you're going to want your pictures, those valuable movies and all your important files. You want to store them using the Carbonite backup service. And don't forget using the code TPN to get those free 2 months. At the end of last week's show, Winston Wolf messaged me the problem with always having to start a service, because when we assigned a service on a domain controller to start us automatically be used as a logon account to start the service, it was not happening. Winston, late that night, solved the problem and then emailed me, and he says, Mike, on the domain controller, you need to open the admin tools, go to domain security policy, and set the logon as service rights for the user accounts that you're using for those services. And once he did that, he rebooted the server 2 times and found that it worked. So we were able to solve that. So anybody who was following that and needed that, that's good stuff. I have a couple consulting stories. And this week, I went to a client to work on his Windows Vista system where he was complaining it was slowing down. Little bell goes off. It's got to be malware or spyware, right? So the first thing I do is run Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes finds nothing. And I'm noticing it's kind of sporadic when I'm running something, you know, I'm browsing or I'm opening Office up. I'm finding the system, sometimes it was fine, other times it would slow down. And I was looking at what processes were running, and there was nothing really sucking up the CPU at all. So at the same time, I was installing a new switch for the client. So while some of these processes were running, like the Malwarebytes, I set up an HP ProCurve switch because they were running out of ports on their one switch. And you know I love HP ProCurves because they have VLAN capabilities. They are managed switches, and they are whisper quiet. So you can have them in any environment. They run cool, and they're inexpensive, and they're gigabit. When you can have all those features and have a very reasonable price for a 24-port gig switch that's managed, and that's what I use in my office here, I recommend that for a lot of small businesses. So I set that up. I also had to set up a guest wireless network, so I was setting up a router for that. Then I went back to the system, and I decided there must be something else going on here, so I run Crystal Disk Info. And lo and behold, I get the yellow warning and lots of errors, lots of sectors having problems. This explains the slowdown and the performance problem that my client's finding. So I recommend it, since the processor was fairly fast and he has 4 gigs of memory. I recommend we get a new hard drive, nice new terabyte hard drive, where I think his was, you know, might have been 400 gig or 500 gig. I sent him links to a terabyte hard drive and Windows 7 Professional 64-bit, an OEM version from Amazon. So I sent him my Amazon links to the hard drive and to the operating system, had him purchase it, and when he gets them in, because he's still functioning right now, when he gets them in, I'm going to come out, make sure all of his data is backed up, but they have a server in the office there, so most of all of his data is really already on the server. I'm just going to have to get his settings, the typical things that we do on a checklist when we're upgrading user's operating system, make sure I have all of his bookmarks and favorites and all of his settings from his applications, make sure I have them all backed up. Then I'm going to take that hard drive out, put the new hard drive in, load on Windows 7. He is going to be fine. He's going to love it. This is where I'm going to move him rather than just reinstalling Vista. Why do that? Why continue the pain and suffering? Let's move forward since he has enough memory and he has a Windows 7 capable system. Let's keep moving forward. If you're going to spend the money on the hard drive, I said, hey, what's another $100 on the operating system? And you will at least be running, I think, a lot faster and a lot better. I wanted to describe my solution where I don't always upsell, but sometimes it makes sense because why reinstall Vista? I don't want to do that. And I think if it was running Vista, then you can definitely run Windows 7 on it, because Windows 7 actually takes less resources. So that was my point here. And I think that's an opportunity for you if you're doing any work for a client where you know it's the hard drive. And one of the things I did, my client was not in the office when I was working on the system. So I took a quick snapshot of the screen from Crystal Disk Info, put it in a Word document, loaded Gmail. I emailed it to myself. So when I got back home Friday night after working on this, I put together a real nice email with my Amazon links for the products I'm recommending, the attachment for the Crystal Disk Info report, and it made it real nice demonstrating everything that I've done and how we're going to move forward. And that's how you want to work with clients, and I think that's perfect. There's some great recommendations in the chat to use the file and transfer wizard, and that's a great example, and I am going to use that. And there's some links to TechNibble on using that, and then Backrex for backing up Internet Explorer settings is great. I use Moz Backup for Firefox backup settings, and I think I'm going to be set, so that's going to be great. They use Office 2007, so I should be able to back up any profiles for the settings for that, so not a problem. They don't use Outlook, which is great. They do use Lotus Notes. I have to back up. Now, this is interesting. If you run into anybody using Lotus Notes, you have the .id file that you have to back up. You have the notes.ini file. And then there's also two other files that you need. You need the names.nsf. That is the address book for Lotus Notes. So you got the names.nsf, you got the .id file, which contains the encrypted password information for logging in, and it also has the locations, and then you also have the .ini file. There's lots of little files here, and that's why I wanted to bring that up, that you need to get. When in doubt, grab the whole Lotus Notes directory. It's not that big. And then you always can pull files from it. You know, when in doubt, take the whole directory there, because you got files in the data directory and you got files in the root of the notes directory. So keep that in mind. So once I have all that, I'm going to be set with restoring him and getting him up and running. Let's fast forward a couple days. Well, not a couple days. Actually, I was away over the weekend and I get a call from my client, or should I say, Biker Boy in the chat. His dad calls me and says, Mike, I can't get on the internet. And I was like, okay, so let's see what the problem is. And everything that I was asking him to do, first, wireless wasn't working. So I made sure he was wired from his laptop to the router. And he has Comcast. And he, of course, rebooted it, and it didn't work, and turned it on, turned it off. And with everything that I was asking him to do, it was very clear there's a problem with the router and with the cable modem.
and it's a Linksys. It was not Comcast. And this is the lesson here. He called Comcast. And Comcast, once they found out he didn't have a Comcast modem, they completely blew him off and would not help him. So that's the lesson. Unfortunately, you need the Comcast modem router that they provide because they really won't help you. Now, yes, you can use another brand, but if you run into any kind of a problem, they're not going to be there. Now, luckily, my son works for Comcast. I called him, and he overnighted a modem to them, was able to take care of that. So it's nice having someone who works for Comcast that I can leverage for clients that I have that are in Pennsylvania only. He was able to take care of them. The lesson there is if you have Comcast and things go ugly and you do not have a Comcast modem, they are not going to help you. And you want them to be able to say, look, we will send you one. Now, here's how paranoid I am. With my Verizon Fios, I don't mess around, and I've already had to leverage this. I have two Verizon modems. I have one in production, and then there is one on a shelf. And if that router Verizon modem goes bad, then I have one that I can put into production. And then while they're drop shipping one, replacing one, I can then replace my modem on the shelf, my router, and put it on the shelf. I like to have a spare. What my client has done since then, since there might have been a longer delay in getting the modem from Comcast, they bought one from Best Buy. And what I recommend is that will be the backup one. So when the Comcast one came in, as a matter of fact, it came in today and was installed and everything's up and running, then you take that modem that you have, if you do have one that's working or you had to put one in production, put that on the shelf. If your internet connection is extremely important to you and your business, then you better have a backup. Which brings up another point. This past Monday, no storms. Now, we had storms Monday night and Tuesday. There were storms all over the place. But Monday, for no apparent reason, we had a complete power outage. And with the power outage, I had no internet access. And now, how do I service clients? Now, I have my iPhone, but now I don't have an internet connection. That's why I keep, I know it's corny, and it's a great solution. I have the Virgin Mobile portable Wi-Fi adapter that gets me 3G, and I have a pay-as-you-go card. So if I needed internet access, I am not bound to any kind of monthly reoccurring agreement. I can pay as I go with an emergency. Now, I had to shell out $79 for that modem probably a year ago when I had a power problem. But it's one of those things that you got to be prepared and you got to think of these scenarios. What if my ISP goes down? What if it's Comcast or Verizon? Now, here we had a whole neighborhood outage that there was some equipment failure and we were down for a few hours. So I had my backup if I needed it to. So what I'm doing is making sure that you think of all the scenarios that you need, whether it's a backup for the router, the modem, a switch, backup for an internet connection. That's what you want to take a look at. What services are most important for you? And then make sure that you have backups for all these things. That's very, very important. And you want to think of those scenarios so you're not in a situation where, you know, I talk about backup data backing up your data all the time. That's not important enough now. You got to, make sure you may be in a situation where it actually may be worth having a generator. That's something that I would love to have with the different storms and everything that happens in the area. I would love to have a generator and hope to be able to be that I can afford that down the road, because it would be great to have my internet constantly up during a power outage. Now, I'm lucky I have clients that are close enough to me
that if they are not impacted by the power outage, I could go over their office and work out of their office and use their internet connection, go back into the server room, connect up. I'm sure they'd love to have me on site. There's lots of things that I could do that I can stay in touch and be able to service my clients. So you have to look at your situation and then see what's important. Before we get to email, there are two things IT professionals and their clients have in common. They want the job done right, and they want it done fast. That's why I highly recommend GoToAssist Express by Citrix to anyone in IT. It puts clients at ease with its simple and secure remote support and puts you in a position to do what you do best. Access, diagnose, and resolve. Because that's what you want to do. You want to quickly resolve those problems remotely. Try GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/podcast to see how you can deliver live tech support to anywhere, anytime with GoToAssist Express. Have this question from Rico. It's about IE8 trusted sites. Mike, I'm having a problem in IE8 and Windows 7. I cannot add trusted sites manually in IE8. The button is grayed out. I have looked into the local group policy and tried everything on the internet to include modifying the flags in IE zones of the registry. I have also enabled users in local group policy to add sites to the trusted site zone, but the button is still grayed out. Since I have no domain policy, I know it has to be in the local settings somewhere. Do you think you or your listeners can look into this and get me in the right direction? Appreciate your show and really enjoy it here in Kuwait. And he is a system admin in the U.S. Embassy in Kuwait. I've emailed him back with a couple links that I had that I found on the internet, and he tried them and they're not working. So here's what I didn't recommend, which is uninstall IE8 and reinstall it. Rico, try that and let's see if that happens, because you didn't mention that. And then I'm looking for other suggestions here that I can suggest. Jerry, great recommendation, iefix.exe. I'll get a link to that and put it in the show notes. I'm not sure if Microsoft has one of those automatic fix-its, but go to microsoft.com/fixit and try some of them, because that might work. That would be just something else to try. So anybody else, if you have suggestions, we would appreciate that. Here's a question from Daniel, who is in the chat, and he's Real McCoy in the chat, and he says, on a different note here, here's an interesting product somebody is trying to come up with. It's called IsoStick. It looks like it'd make itself look like a CD-ROM DVD drive and a flash drive to a system, and allow you to burn multiple iOS entries as separate disks. So you could, for example, have one flash stick with a CD DVD image of Windows 7 Pro Ultimate, Server 2008 R2, etc., and be able to boot and select which to disk image boot from. I think it would also have a write protect switch too. They have funding, and hopefully this becomes a product that can be readily available to purchase. Thanks a lot, and keep on teching on. Dan, thank you. And I will have that link in the show notes. And it's a long link, and I know I'll have it in there. I was checking that out. That looks pretty cool, the ISO stick. Keep an eye on that. If you purchase anything from Amazon or know anybody that purchases items from Amazon, and you know you can literally buy
almost anything.
Use my link on the left-hand side of the website at mikenation.net, miketechshow.com, and that will generate a commission for me to help support the show. Your price stays the same. So once you click on that, do all your shopping, add everything to your cart, no matter where you go on Amazon's site, for that session, I'll get credit for that sale. Unfortunately, it only works for people in the United States. I wish they would extend that to outside the United States. That would be great. But I really appreciate your continued support and your support of the show. Thank you so much. With that, I have some great independent music. It's a long song from Rob Coslow, and it's from his sophomore Jinx CD. I've never played this because it's over 7 minutes, but it's so peaceful and so nice and relaxing. Give a listen. The song is Bliss, and then I'll be back to wrap up. That is Rob Coslow and the song Bliss, and that is from his sophomore Jinx CD. You should recognize the piano music from Rob Coslow because I use a portion of one of his songs for the beginning, the intro, and the outro of the Mike Tech Show, and that is from one of his songs called Reflections. So I will have a link to robcoslow.com in the show notes. Support Rob, buy his music from Magnatunes. You get to set the price that you want to pay for his music. And I highly recommend downloading his music and buying it and supporting him because it's so relaxing and so soothing. And if you need to just unwind, it's perfect. Now, have a little more tech here. I've done this a couple times now. It came up in the chat. Does anyone use Ninite to help install software programs on a new installation? Because it has all the common programs that you use. It's a program where you could just literally check all the software that you want, and it will install it. I use it. I don't use it enough, but I've used it, and it's great. What I would like you to do is check that out. I'll have a link to that in the show notes, because if you're installing all of this software, and it's most of the software that we talk about, all the utilities and great programs, isn't it great to just sit back, check all the boxes, and just let it rip and let it install all those programs? So check that out. It's called Ninite. That is it for tonight's show. I will be back next week, but at a different time. I will be back on Friday night, August 12th at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. So if you want to join me live, there'll be no live show on Thursday. That's it. Thank you, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.